Welcome and thank you for joining us this afternoon. We want to invite you to actually take a moment to bask in the presence of the Lord. I know you're going to be blessed this afternoon, and so what I would ask for you to do is simply open up the Word of God with me. We're going to go into a journey. We're going to explore one of the letters actually that's not studied very often, one of the letters that some of the Bible or the church fathers even would hesitate to even study. And so I would like for you to join me this afternoon in this journey. Let me begin by actually telling you a quick story. My grandma was instrumental in my life. And I remember grandma would often tell me instructions, and she would always repeat it to me. She would always look at me and give me the instructions one by one. She would say, David, I want you to go to the store and get me some sugar, and plus I want you to get me some bread. Plus, I want you to give me something. And she would name out the items. Now, those of you that are from the Caribbean will understand what I'm going to talk about. She would stop me as I was going out the door. And then she would say to me, David, I want you to do me a favor. Come back. I want you to repeat to me what I asked you to get for me. And I would actually repeat to her what she wanted me to get. And often what I found was this, is that as I was repeating back the list, I was actually ingraining it in my mind. She was actually asking me to make sure that I had it down packed. Grandma would often defend this little guy, actually. And the reason why she would do that is because David was always getting in trouble. David was often getting into deeper trouble than he asked for. Often, my brothers would actually call me the shame of the family. Most people see the suit and the clean-cut haircut and the glasses, and they think that David has always been like that. But I want to let you know that I was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. Grandma would often be waking up first thing in the morning, and you could hear her praying on the corner. And she would recite a prayer, and I would often, when I was coming in from doing my things out in the world, I would hear my name at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. She would be praying, and I'd hear my name, Lord, bless him, keep him, protect him. I don't know what he's up to, but keep him, Father, she would say. This little old lady that maybe was about yay high and weighed maybe 90 pounds at the heaviest. Grandma would often stand between me and those who wanted to hurt David. And the reason why was that David would do things in the neighborhood that would disrupt the peace of the neighborhood. Well, I remember one time my sister comes to me and she wants to get at David. And so grandma gets in between my sister and I. And she says, you're not going to touch him. Those instructions slowly began to seep in my mind, and I remember as she was getting older, I would go out and have a good time, and I would do my thing, and then come home, and grandma would be praying for David. I'll never forget the instructions and the joy that I had with her. Peter was busy trying to remind the church. Peter was trying to remind them that there was a way to have success in the life with Jesus Christ. Peter was busy trying to let them know that, listen, there is a way that you can have closeness and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a simple sermon this afternoon. Today, I just want you to know that it's going to be so simple, but at the same time, it's just a reminder for you. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2. He says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. Verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to steer you up by way of reminder. Father, it is your time. And Father, I'm not going to pretend to have the wisdom and the knowledge. I'm not going to even pretend, oh Father, that I'm anyone before you. So what I plead, oh Lord, is that you'll just bask, oh Father, your presence in this place today. And as we study your word, Father, and as we look deeper into your word, my prayer is, Lord, that you can take all the glory and the honor. Someone needs to hear from your throne today. And so my prayer is, Lord, speak to us, we plead. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter had a few incidences with the church. And as a matter of fact, I just want to remind you that Peter had already baptized a group of people. Cornelius, if you remember that story, he had baptized a group of people that were non-members, or should I say were not Jews or Israelites. Cornelius had a vision. Peter had a vision. Now watch what the Lord is trying to do, and at the same time, watch what the church does. Peter has a vision at the same time that Cornelius is getting instructions for the Lord. And I want to remind you that Peter now is sent by the Spirit of God into Cornelius' home. When Peter baptizes everyone in that building, in that home, what happens now is that he has some pushback from the church. He goes back to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, what happens really boggles my mind. The Spirit of God had given instructions to Peter, but the church was busy trying to tell him that they did not know the fundamental beliefs. The Spirit of God had given Peter directions, but the leadership was too busy saying that they did not know all the beliefs that they had in place. In other words, they had no understanding of the full concept of what the church was teaching in that day. Now watch, Peter is trying to get across to them and he's saying, listen, God spoke to me. God opened up in vision that he wanted me to reach out to them. Now the church is saying, no. Peter, hang on 2 seconds. You're moving too quick. You're changing things too fast for us. We're not used to this, Peter. What you're doing, Peter, is you're adding things now that we're not used to. And you'll remember very well, the Bible says that this is the reason as well why they persecuted Jesus. Jesus was changing things way too quickly for the establishment. But Peter now is writing a letter to this same group of people, trying to encourage them and saying, listen, stay the course. Don't lose sight. Not now, he's saying. We're going home soon. Stay the course. Peter now begins to exclaim to them some instructions, and watch this. As Peter is trying to convince the church leadership, he's trying to let them know, listen, that God, at one point in time, we had standards. We perhaps wanted people to follow specific fundamental beliefs, and we wanted to teach these beliefs so people could be prepared for baptism. But Peter now is letting them know that the Spirit of God is saying all they need to do is have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grandma would often tell me, I love the Lord. And listen, let me tell you something. As grandma would often tell me this, I didn't understand it. Why? Because I was an angry young man. I was not just angry, I have to make a confession with you. Not only was I angry, but I was racist. Not only was I racist, but I had destructive behavior that often would make the news here in Edmonton. And I want to let you know this, that as I grew up, I had so much anger inside of me that I could not understand why this old lady would talk about loving God and talking about this carpenter and this love and this desire that she had to know this man. When all I could see was what my father had done in the home, and all I could see what the pain that he had brought in the home. And you see what happens is Peter now in this particular passage is trying to warn the church, and he's letting them know, listen, hang on to what I taught you in the past. Why? Because you have a lot of folk who wear fake masks. And as you read on in chapter 2, he actually even lets them know, he says, listen, there's going to be some folk coming into the church. They're going to look good. They're going to be wearing a nice suit.
They're going to be wearing, they're going to be nicely shaved. They're going to have the nice comb over. And I want to let you know, David, Peter now warns, he says, I want to let you know that these men and women will have an image of what they believe is a standard for salvation. But he says, listen, I want to take you somewhere and remind you. But I want you to know, he says, and I want you to pay attention to what the focus is. And the question now that is asked of the folk on this particular church is Peter is simply wants them to keep that focus on Jesus Christ. Watch. I want to remind you what the text says. And so I'm going to read a few verses for you. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Forgive me if I get excited there. Forgive me if I just get a little emotional there. Why? Because he says that these men and women who were Gentile had the same faith now that the Israelite or the Jew had. And so that there is no boundary. There is now no difference in race and ethnicity. And he says this, guess what? He says that you have received the same faith. I understand what some scholars have an issue with 2 Peter. I understand that. Some scholars say that 2 Peter perhaps was not even written by Peter. And the reason why is the Koine Greek that is used in this particular letter is a little bit different than the Greek that's used in 1 Peter. And that's true. But I just want to bask and go a little bit deeper in this letter. Look what he says in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. Peter brings about now these two individual men and women. And now the reason I get excited is this, is because this church is made up of mainly Gentiles. And by the way, the church at that time is made up of mainly servants and slaves. Men and women who had no concept of what it was like to have value in life. Men and women who had no idea what it was like to be valued by someone else. And now you're telling me that I have just as much value of my owner and master, just as much value as them who are the leaders in the church. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that's the case? That was what Peter was saying. Peter continues on, and watch what he says. There are two key words on this particular chapter, chapter 1, that he uses. That's knowledge and diligence. Verse 3 says, again, I'm going to read it for you. Seeing that his divine power has what? Has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, I'm going to pause here a second. Why? Because watch what he does. He says, God has given us everything we need, all the power we need for life and godliness. In other words, if you're struggling in your sin, if you're struggling with your cycle, if you're struggling in the life, maybe the marriage, the friendships, work, I don't know. But he says this, ready? He says, he's given us the power for that. And then he turns around and he says this, that he's given us the power as well to live a godly life. What an awesome verse. All comes through the knowledge, he says. Now watch this. He says that to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and grace. First of all, Peter stands before the leadership in the church, and he says this, I saw that God places value on them who are Gentile and as well on those who are part of the church. He says, I saw that. I saw that God makes no difference between the drug addict or the alcoholic and the church member. Now I get excited. Why? Because watch, Peter says that it's the same faith. It's the same power. It's the same life that you and I can have. And he says, for God provided the what? The power and the life for that particular life that you would like to live in Jesus Christ. So when it comes to the drug addict, when it comes to the guy who's broken like I am, he says this, there is power that God has provided so that you can overcome. When it comes to the guy that can't overcome perhaps the addiction of pornography or the addiction of smoking or drinking or even perhaps dropping a fat one every once in a while, he says this, listen, I want you to know that there is power to overcome. I want you to know that there is power for you to live that godly life. And you see, what you need to understand is that when you're in pain, you cannot hear those words. When you're in pain of everything that's broken around you, when home is destroyed, and when everything else is falling apart around you, you cannot hear words like that. So Peter says this, two things I want to tell you, O church. He says, God has provided power for you to live a godly life and for you to have a good life within your household. He continues on, and the key is coming up for me. Please stay with me a few seconds. He says, I need you to know that the power, he says, is in knowing me. Now, verse 4, for by these, by what? By the glory and excellence of God. Now, verse 4, listen carefully. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. So what is it talking about? It's talking about the simple fact that God, the Bible, Peter, should I say, is talking about the simple fact that, listen, you can overcome. But the power to overcome, he's saying, is in the knowledge that you have of Jesus Christ. By the way, I'm going to pause here. I'm going to put a tack on it. I used to wonder why, Lord, when I first came into the church, why am I still struggling? Why can't I overcome this? Why are the cycles playing over and over again? Why, God, do not I have the power to leave that lifestyle behind? And so what I started doing is I started reading the Word of God, and the more I read, the more I wanted to know. But without even knowing it, I began to shed specific habits and addictions in my life. And so what Peter is getting at is simple. Ready? That as you get to know God, as you get to know that lowly carpenter on the cross, as you get to fall in love with him, something amazing happens. You have power to overcome your addictions, your cycles, your brokenness in your life. Relationships are now reconciled. Broken homes now have some hope. Men and women, such as sinners like me, can walk with a different step, not putting on a facade, but simply coming to the presence of God and saying, Lord, I'm struggling, but Lord, I know that in the knowledge that I have with you, the Gnostic knowledge, or should I say, the knowing of it, the intimate walk, the intimate relationship that you and I have, I know that you're going to sustain me. I know that you're going to keep me, but it gets better. Watch. The theme of the entire camp meeting is reflecting. Now watch. Ready? Peter, what he does is this. He takes an inductive reasoning to his study. So he presents a generalized portion of his letter, but now he actually takes you deeper. He now begins to dissect slowly one thing at a time. Watch what he says. Watch. So one thing is he says, you have you have power when you have the knowledge. But it doesn't end there. It also continues on with saying this. Verse 5 now. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence. I need to stop here because I went and looked at the Greek on this particular word that says all diligence. You know what actually insinuates? It insinuates that you and I have to do a part in the relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, it's going to make some of you uncomfortable. Watch. That particular verb in the Greek, it's actually an aorist, second person, and it actually comes in the affirmative. In other words, it's a particular order, not an order, it's more of a command that Peter is giving you, that he says, listen, you must put of yourself into the relationship. But this is where the change comes. Watch. He now dissects things for you. Verse 5. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. Forgive me if I get excited as I read, but it says this, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, he says, love. Watch what he says now. For if you possess these qualities in your life and are increasing, they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying is this. In the Greek, the insinuation is that there must be a full commitment, not wavering, not going back and forth. In the Greek, what it suggests is this, that it's a command that you must make a decision, but not to obey. It doesn't say obey. This is why I'm getting excited. Why? Because the instruction is to do what? To act, to add virtue in your life. And Peter, what he does is this. At the beginning of the letter, he points you back to the perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ. Then he says this, ready? As you get to know that sacrifice, as you get to know that lowly carpenter, as you submit to the lowly carpenter named Jesus, and you add the peace and the grace and the self-control, ready? He says this. You will be kept from being ineffective. You will be kept from not having fruit in your life, and it gets even better. Verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make your election sure. He says this, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. I could have chosen any other verse and any other particular story in the Bible. But the reason I chose this verse for you today is this, because I wanted to share with you the verse that changed my life. The instructions that Peter gives is to look back to the cross. The instructions that Peter gives is to stay focused on Jesus Christ, not to obey, not to follow an instruction. But he says this, look at the cross. And when you look at the cross, be all diligent and make up your mind to do what? To make sure that Jesus Christ is producing his character in you. In other words, when he begins to reflect himself in you, guess what happens? You now become fruitful. You now have power. You now can overcome. You now have the control that Jesus meant for you to have in your life. Be self-controlled, he said. But if you simply stay focused on the cross, if you simply watch what that lowly carpenter says, he says, Success in your spiritual walk is not obeying a creed. It's not knowing a fundamental belief. It's not knowing simply scripture, but knowing the lowly carpenter of the scripture. It's knowing that lowly man that carried the cross all the way up that hill, and he spread his hand from the east to the west, and he said, "This is how much I love you." Grandma would not give up on David. My family often knew me as the black sheep. And the reason why is because David would often find a way to get himself into trouble. I would find the best way to have a self-destructive action done in my life. Do you know what it's like to have your brother approach you and look at you straight into your eyes and say, "You are the shame of this family"? I could have chosen to give you just a simple study. But I, like Peter, wanted you to know, Peter says this on verse 17 and 18, "For when he received honor from God the Father," he says, "such as an utterance as this," he says, "made to," or should I say, "made on him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Watch what Peter says. "For I myself heard it." I heard the voice. The voice that came from heaven. I was present that day, he says. I'm writing you something, not that's a philosophy or idea, not something that someone made up, but rather I'm writing to you something that I experienced, he says. So I am coming this afternoon to remind you that when you look at the cross, when you fall in love with that lowly carpenter, guess what happens? You begin to reflect that love, that unending, unsacrificial love, that love that will give anything for you. Grandma was fighting with Grandpa, and there was a gun in the house, and so what Grandpa used to love to drink. And so what he did is, because Grandma would not give him the alcohol, he decides to go get the gun, and he walks into the bedroom and brings the gun out. And now you need to understand this. Here is this little lady. And as she's standing before this man, she has a choice. It's either she gives him what the addiction calls for, or she gets shot. Mom, without hesitation, she jumps in front of Grandma. And while she's fighting with Grandpa, she says, "Don't you dare lay a hand on her. You're not going to touch her." You know what Grandpa did? He grabs the gun, turns the handle, and swings the gun at Mom's face. Mom looks at Grandpa with bloodied face, and she says, "You have to kill me first to get to her. You have to take my life first, in order for you to get to her. You must take everything that I am. You must take the last breath from me. You must take the last piece of energy from me before you can get at my precious mother." You see, that's the way Jesus Christ looks at you. He gave it all for you and I. And all he's asking is simple, that for you to have power in your life, just simply come to know him. Just simply come and fall in love with him. Come and have that relationship with him. And I'm not talking about that flimsy relationship that we often have. You know what I'm talking about? If you just simply come and have that depth and knowledge of who I am, then you're going to have the power that you're looking for. I don't know where you're standing today. I don't know what you're going through. The theme is reflecting him. And listen, when you focus on Jesus, you simply fall in love with the Savior. You simply fall in love with the lowly carpenter. And in return, you end up having a more fulfilling, joyous, and empowered life. I don't know where you're standing today. And I don't know what your decision is. But my prayer for you is this, that as you begin to read the scripture and as you begin to actually study the word of God, that you submit fully to him and say, Lord, I'm ready to make that decision. Remember, there was two main words in this particular letter. First word was knowledge. To know him. To know him is to be empowered by him. And the second word is to basically submit to him. Make up your mind. Be diligent in every aspect. My desire for you this afternoon is that you submit fully to him so that you can begin to walk. And if that's your desire, if that's what you're longing for, I know I'm a human, I'm a man just like many of you. I'm a human being like you. I struggle with my addictions. To this day, I've been baptized for over 20 years, but if I don't fall before the presence of God, I can tell you this, the old man comes alive. But as long as I'm in the presence of him, he keeps control. So I want to invite you this afternoon that wherever you may be, Lord, I want you to have full control. I want to submit myself fully to you and begin to reflect your character. Give me, O Father, that self-control. Give me, O Father, that knowledge that I long for. Give me, O Lord, that perseverance and that faith that will keep me steadfast regardless of what comes my way. But most of all, give me that love for you so that I can continue on the journey. If that's your desire, I'm simply going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Father, we want to praise you that you are the God of power. We want to praise you that you are the God who invested everything on us. We want to praise you that you're the God who did not hold anything back. But most of all, I want to praise you, Lord, that you love me with an unending love. Regardless of how far I may go, you're still waiting with open arms. I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.